This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. With Election Day just 2 weeks away from tomorrow, we're going to begin today with politics. In just a few hours, President Barack Obama and former Governor Mitt Romney will come together in Boca Raton, Florida for their final debate, this one focused on foreign policy.
And closer to home, Republican Senator Scott Brown and Democratic challenger Elizabeth Warren are making their final statewide push in one of the nation's most closely watched political races. Joining us now to talk about that and more are two members of our political roundtable, Susan Tracy, former Democratic state rep and the current president of the Strategy Group. Welcome back, Susan.
Thanks, Anthony.
And Nancy Dwight, former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee and current chair of Dwight Partners. Welcome to you, Nancy.
Great to see you back. Great to be here.
So let's start with tonight's presidential debate. With this race so close and Mitt Romney's impressive performance in the first debate, which seemed to energize the president in the second debate, there could be an awful lot riding on this showdown tonight. Nancy, let me start with you. Do you expect them to be as aggressive and combative as they were in the last debate, or with the focus on foreign policy, is it going to bring out this sort of global statesman in both of them?
Well, let's put it all in context. We're 2 weeks out. The race is tied. Mitt Romney has the momentum at this point going forward. So in many ways, it's important for him to both look presidential, act presidential, and be presidential. The staging, the format is different. They'll be seated. It'll be more conversational. The tone, by definition, won't be as combative, in my view. Mitt Romney in the first debate showed that he can be president. People came away from that saying, I can see him as president. Now in this debate, he wants people to see him as commander-in-chief, to leave that debate and say, he could be commander-in-chief, he could be president. That's his goal here.
Susan, what about your view on this?
I think there's a ton riding on tonight. You know, every poll shows this dead heat, and the swing states are all within the margin of error. We saw the tremendous turnaround that happened after the first debate when Obama did so poorly. So in some ways, I would say the race could be riding on tonight. When you run for office, you have people who hold signs, they knock on doors, they raise money for you, they make calls. And this is really the moment when you as the candidate have to carry your own campaign on your back. And it's a big night. I really think this could be a very deciding moment this evening.
Well, let's talk about some of the opportunities and some of the dangers that both of them face tonight. The president could face tough questions about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, as he did in the last debate. And it really comes down to, why did it take the administration so long to identify this as a terrorist attack? And here's how Mitt Romney went after the president in the last debate on this issue.
When we have four Americans killed there, when apparently we didn't know what happened, that the president, the day after that happened, flies to Las Vegas for a political fundraiser, then the next day to Colorado for another event, another political event. I think these actions taken by a president and a leader have symbolic significance.
And President Obama was able to parry that question pretty effectively.
And the suggestion that anybody in my team, whether Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do.
So it seems to me those two moments encapsulate pretty nicely the opportunities and the dangers of venturing into these foreign waters for both these candidates. Nancy, what do you expect to emerge tonight as the most important issue? More Libya, Iran, trade with China?
Oh, it'll be all those issues, but I don't think that's really what's important about tonight. I think President Obama has to go into this with a strategy of rising above these singular issues and resetting both himself and his administration into the future. And that involves foreign policy. That'll be somehow a pivot into domestic policy and the budget, which will happen, I think, somehow tonight. Meanwhile, Governor Romney, who I just called President Romney, but Governor Romney.
It's a slip.
It's a happens. Slip. We're getting used to it. Governor Romney has to, again, appear in control, in command, that he has presidential command of the issues. So, yes, I do believe that President Obama will need to explain once and for all what did happen in Benghazi, what did happen in Libya. This is his opportunity. He will have the entire country, except for those who are watching football and baseball, to to actually speak to. But this is his opportunity to talk about that. But I think coming out of this, we're not going to be judging this performance based on what his view is about the China situation or just about Benghazi. We're going to be coming away from it saying, which one of these men do we want to be our commander-in-chief going forward?
Mm. Susan, Nancy mentioned sort of pivoting to domestic issues, and I'm wondering how important it is for them to relate these foreign policy questions back to the economy, which is the sort of central issue in this campaign. Right?
It's important, but just to speak a little bit to the foreign policy piece,
sure.
I think for Obama, I think what you want to do tonight is you want to remind people that you're winding us down from two wars, that you oversaw the capture of Osama bin Laden. There have been no terrorist attacks on our soil, and terrorist attacks have been thwarted while you have been president. So I think you have to remind people, yes, you have to talk about the future, but I think you have to get out of the sort of specific of Benghazi, which I think the president handled well in the last debate, but get to the larger issue of how he's managed the country and how he's kept us safe for the last 4 years, despite some pretty significant unrest in the world. And I think you also have to turn the tables on Romney and push him to specifics. Romney has, you know, sort of questioned the activities of the president, but he's always pretty loose on the specifics of what he would do. And I think the president needs to push him on it.
Well, a lot at stake tonight. It'll be interesting to watch. So let's move on to the U.S. Senate race here in Massachusetts. This past weekend, Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren got help from some political veterans who focused on veterans issues. Arizona Senator John McCain campaigned with Brown and took on the Department of Veterans Affairs, which he said takes more than 400 days to process a single claim.
My friends, that's outrageous. It's got to change, and it's got to change. And we need more people like Scott Brown and me to put their feet in the fire.
And for her part, Elizabeth Warren rallied in Beverly with former Georgia Senator Max Cleland. He's a decorated vet who lost both of his legs and an arm in Vietnam. Here's Elizabeth Warren in Beverly.
An important part of this race is about what kind of a people we are and what kind of a country we're trying to build. And thinking about that with how we treat our military families and our vets is a really important part of this campaign and a really important part of what matters to me.
So, Susan, do these competing endorsements, Max Cleland versus John McCain, do they add anything to this race at this point?
Well, first, both McCain and Cleland are very admirable men, and I think, you know, anyone would be proud to have them supporting them, either candidate. But what I found more interesting in this is I thought it was very smart for Elizabeth Warren to reach out to that vote. Hmm. I think you think of that as a natural constituency for Senator Brown since he serves in the National Guard. And I thought it was both smart and respectful for her to say, you know what, I care about veterans and I care about their families. When she was head of the Consumer Protection, or putting the Consumer Protection Board together, she brought Holly Petraeus onto her staff to focus specifically on predatory lending against military families. She has three brothers who have served in the military. And I think it was a smart and respectful move to say, you know what, I'm not conceding that vote. I care about you. I care about your families, and I'm going to fight for you.
Mm. Nancy, what did you see over the weekend?
Well, and I think it, again, was very, very smart of Senator Brown to bring in Senator McCain. He's bringing in Governor Chris Christie on Wednesday. Senator Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire, very popular, was also with Senator McCain at some of these appearances. Again, Senator McCain is an independent voice within the Senate, somebody who works with both sides, looking for solutions, and that is what Scott Brown's message is, which is Massachusetts, I went down there to work through problems and to find solutions, to work with Democrats and Republicans. Senator McCain is the embodiment of that. Plus, he is obviously a war hero, as Senator Cleland was in the same war in Vietnam, both highly respected, both comfortable on the stump. Senator McCain also, in attacking candidate Warren in an appearance, talked about Obama's feckless foreign policy. And it reminded me that 2 weeks out is the time of alliteration in campaigns. I mean, this is when we're going to be hearing lots and lots of things like feckless foreign policy. We'll have to watch for that tonight.
So Warren wins?
Warren wins. There we go.
That's quick, Susan.
Well, speaking of that, to get to that or to a Brown win, 2 weeks to go, the race remains close. What do these candidates have to do in the course of these next 2 weeks? One more debate, lots of advertising money, and yet still neck and neck. Start with you, Susan.
I think that the candidates have to stay on the path they're on. I think, you know, for Scott Brown, you're going to continue to push this bipartisan message. I think you're for Elizabeth Warren, you've got to continue to push the message of fighting for the middle class. I also think the women's vote is pretty critical to her, that she's got some smart advertising up about, you know, his votes cast that affect women. And I think that that's the path that they're on, the path that they started on, and they stay with it. Mm. And I'm surprised that it's remained relatively positive, to tell you the truth.
Mm. Nancy?
And we will see how long that lasts, but I think it will remain positive. They are very close. Senator Brown has to remind people of why he went there, what he's done, what he wants to continue. And I think he has to also emphasize even more the fact that in the next 4 years, particularly the next two of the next 4 years, we in the Congress have to face some very significant fiscal issues. No matter which side you're on, you've got to put people down there who can talk to the other side. Senator Brown has proven he can do that, so Massachusetts returned me so the conversations can continue. I think he's got to make that point, and I think it can be effective. I think also both of them will be reinforcing the base, as we call it. Mm-hmm. As you said, Senator Brown will be working with veterans and working with a coalition that he's put together to win, and his opponent will be doing the same on her side. So we'll see a lot of this.
Let's move on to another race, the race for the 4th Congressional District. This is the seat being vacated by Barney Frank. Joseph Kennedy III is heavily favored. He's the Democrat. He's running against Republican Sean Bilat, who gave Barney Frank a pretty stiff run for his money a couple of years ago. Nancy, let me start with you. Most Republicans face a pretty stiff headwind in Massachusetts, especially when you're running against anyone named Kennedy. What strikes you about this race?
Well, I think, first off, it's been a very good race for both candidates. I think Sean Bilat has run a good campaign. He's been heavily outspent and probably will be heavily outspent in the next 2 weeks by someone who has obviously part of the Kennedy family, has been able to mobilize dollars, had not run before. Sean Bilat had, so there was a question of both experience, personal experience, as well as candidate experience. But I'll use another alliteration in talking about this. This is mine now. A dazzling difference in dollars pretty much defines this race at this point. But again, I highly respect the tone, for the most part, the tone of this race. Sean Bilat, coming from behind in terms of resources, could have taken a more low-road approach to this, just to try to get the attention of all of us. But instead, I think he's kept it on the issues. The issues are, there's a defining difference between what Kennedy's tax and spend liberalness and Sean Bilat's more conservative approach to issues and the economy and the future. And I think that's been a good thing for the 4th District to hear.
Susan?
Sean Bilat's in a very tough place in this election. I mean, he's not running against an entrenched incumbent in an anti-incumbent year the way he was last time. He's running against Joe Kennedy. And I think the thing that, you know, the money Nancy speaks to is correct. There's a big difference between what they've raised. But probably most importantly is Joe Kennedy's worked really hard. He's done a very good job. He's been out there. He's been in the trenches. He knocks on doors. He asks people for their vote. And he's been a strong, credible candidate. Credible candidate. Do I get credit for that?
Yeah.
All kinds of alliterations. Well, we're going to be hearing from Sean Bilat in just a few minutes. He'll be here in our studio answering questions from our listeners about this campaign. We've also invited Joseph Kennedy and expect to have him here in the coming days. So let's move on finally to the death of former South Dakota Senator George McGovern. He died this past weekend at the age of 90. McGovern, of course, was the Democratic presidential nominee who famously lost to Richard Nixon in 1972. He was a liberal, anti-Vietnam War crusader who lost in a landslide that year, carrying only the District of Columbia in Massachusetts, which forever links him to the Bay State. Susan, how do you remember George McGovern?
You know, I was pretty young during those years, so I have to say that my recollection of the campaign is weak, even though I like politics. I was probably too young at the time. But what I find the most compelling on all the things that I've read is, you know, to lose at that level, I mean, that's a devastating loss. Mm. It is very hard to pick yourself up after losing any campaign, but to be able to not only pick yourself up, but to really continue in public service and make such a difference in people's lives with the hunger initiatives that he was involved in, is really compelling in a, you know, I think we all hope more people would be able to do that.
Nancy Dwight, your recollections.
I have so many memories, you know, like so many listeners, I'm sure. I was a 1972 college graduate. My first real job in politics was in 1970 when I worked for the Governor Frank Sargent campaign here in Massachusetts. You know, there's so many memories back then because in those days the anti-war movement was defining. It was not even that much of a partisan issue, as many of you probably don't even realize. It was you either were against the war or you were for the war. And so George McGovern came along, and there was almost a pride within Massachusetts about the fact that it was likely that this would be, if not the only state, one of the few states, it turned out to be the only state that he received. You know, Massachusetts was certainly not a battleground state, and it certainly was not a target state for the Nixon campaign by any stretch. But it was a rallying state for many of us who felt strongly that even though I was a Republican, am a Republican, was working for a Republican, Frank Sargent himself was an anti-war Republican and a moderate Republican. And it just brought me back to those days, especially with a campaign like we have now. All I could think about was, what would George McGovern think of a billion-dollar presidential campaign? I mean, sad place that, in my view, that we've come to. And also on that line, I'll close with this, is the bipartisanship that he embodied. It certainly wasn't a bipartisan campaign back in the early 70s.
Sure.
But since then, in his time remaining in the Senate up until 1980, he was a close friend of somebody I greatly admire, Senator Robert Dole of Kansas, and they worked very hard together on, they brought forth the food stamp program, this Republican, this Democrat, and they just, they were the absolute example of what I hope we will see in the future in this country, which is the two parties coming together, because we have to.
He really did sort of represent a liberal as he was, a kind of decency that that one can always appreciate. Here's a bit of what Senator John Kerry wrote about George McGovern. He was a voice of clarity and conviction at a time when America needed it most. He spoke to many of us who opposed the war but loved our country. George McGovern may not have been president, but George McGovern was right. Those words from John Kerry about George McGovern, who died at the age of 90 this past weekend. Well, Nancy Dwight, former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee and current chair of Dwight Partners, thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you.
And Susan Tracy, former Democratic state rep and current president of the Strategy Group. Always great to have you, Susan. Thanks.
Thanks, Anthony.
And before we head into a break, just a note that we received a lot of feedback from you last week on our program about new requirements pushed by the Patrick administration for homeless families who are seeking emergency shelter.
Shannon posted on RadioBoston.org, "I work with homeless families to get them off the streets and into stable permanent housing."
She writes, "Since the new shelter requirements took effect, we've seen a huge uptick in the number of families coming to us for emergency shelter services after being denied by the state's programs."
Well, you can continue the conversation, and we always appreciate hearing from you. You can find all the ways to contact us at RadioBoston.org.
Stay with us, because up next, Sean Bealot, the Republican challenger for the 4th Congressional District in Massachusetts, joins us in the studio to take your calls. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.